It's true that along the way we're probably going to trim some flesh off again. You know, I was thinking, you know, in June it'll be 2 years since I started coming out here. Really, basically, even though I'm believing differently and even though God is even believing more than I am, if you haven't started praying in tongues by now, after 2 years, you probably won't. I'm believing you will, and God's believing you will, but I seriously doubt if you haven't caught on at this point. More than likely, you either caught on at this point or you left. Amen. One or the other. You know. And, you know, and when I was in Ulysses this last time, what he was referring to was something that God wanted me to do, and I'll be honest with you, and I was honest up there. David and Cindy, they pastors, they can tell you I didn't really want to go and deliver what I had to deliver. But sometimes we have to do that. You know, if you're called in my place, you know, your first thing, every believer should have two. One is to love God. The other is, since you do love Him, if you really do, is to be obedient. And, you know, if you have a problem with obedience, you're kind of in trouble from the beginning, because more than likely, real quick, you're going to run into something that you don't want to do. So I've always made it a point to be as obedient as I could be. As, you know, if I missed something, it wasn't intentional. You know, if I missed a place of obedience, it wasn't intentional, you know. And so, but it was one of those things I really didn't want to do. But I went on ahead, and so actually, Pastor Earl and Bev, they just got in on the tail end of, you know, 3-4 services that, you know, they just caught the end of it. The rest of it was so good. It's just too bad that they don't have those messages. It's because I haven't got around to giving them to them. But we had a wonderful time, and I don't know that we're not going to do some of that here. I don't know. I don't know that. But if we do, you know, if we do trim off some flesh and go after some things, It's for you. It's for you. So you can go farther into God. Because you can't go farther into God and stay the way you are.
Amen.
You know, if I want to go farther into God, I've got to make some changes. I've got to do something different. I can't do things the way I've always done them. Now, His grace is there, you know. I'm going to give you that grace, you know. And you'll come around. You know, that's what God is believing, that you'll come around where you can go farther into Him. But you will have to make some changes to go farther into Him.
Right.
No matter where everyone's at, and everyone is at a different place, the changes I have to make to go farther into Him, you may not have to make at this point, but you probably will someday. But you may not have to at this point. It may be something else that you have to change at this point in order to be able to go farther into Him. So, you know, I'm not guaranteeing anything this weekend other than that God's going to be here. I can guarantee you that, because I finally came to a place and learned that when I show up to a place, He's going to be there. He's always going to be there. Now, I don't have any programs. I don't have any special talents. You know, my singing is a joyful noise. You know, I can't play the guitar real well like Pastor Earl can. I wouldn't even attempt the drums like Brother Barrett. I wouldn't even do that, you know. But I just show up and do what He says. That's what I try to do, you see. And so whatever He wants to do this weekend, we're going to do, but we're going to have a good time while we're doing it. And all I've known to present to people is the Word of God. I can't make you do it. What you do with what you get out of tonight will be up to you. It won't be up to me. You know, I'm responsible. I'm responsible for me and what I do in obedience to what God says. But I'm not responsible for you doing what the Word says. See? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Opportunity to present to you and give you a chance to give into the kingdom. But now before you start getting your checkbooks out and opening up your purses, I want you to listen to me. There's only one thing that matters when it comes to giving. And that's hearing God. Now if you don't hear God, you can purpose in your heart what you want to give. That's scriptural. You can say, okay, I can't hear you, but I feel in my heart I want to do this. And you purpose that and you do that. The big thing about giving is obedience. That's the thing. If you can be obedient with your pocketbook, you can just about be obedient in any other area concerning the things of God.
Amen.
Because for most people, their heart is with their pocketbook. So if you can do that, half of your battle is probably won. Because that's usually what stops most people, is money. Either lack of or too much of. I won't say too much of, I'll say the love of it. But obedience is what counts at this part of the service. Now I want you to do something. The reason I said don't open up your pocketbooks, don't open up your purses, don't open up your checkbooks, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and listen to the voice of God. If you can't hear the voice of God, see what He lays on your heart. And that's what I want you to give tonight. So take a moment and do it. You and God, right here. Shut out everything else around you and ask Him, Lord, what do You want me to do? We want nothing tonight but Your obedience. That's all we want, just Your obedience. All right, just do what He says. Now, if you haven't heard anything or you don't know that you've heard His voice, that's okay. No condemnation. Just purpose in your heart. This is what I'm going to do tonight for the offering. And go ahead and get your offering ready. Hallelujah.
Well, I don't give offerings, but I do tithe. But tithe says to bring it into the storehouse.
Well, it doesn't really matter whether Pastor Earl is up here receiving an offering for the church or I'm up here receiving an offering for the ministry. They're both storehouse. They're storehouse in the body of Christ. And I know some of you have been taught differently, but I'm sorry that you've been taught wrong. It's not my fault. If you'd have came to me, I could have straightened you out.
Amen.
You know, every part, every ministry in the body of Christ is part of the storehouse. The storehouse is just the body of Christ. You know, those working, trying to get the gospel out in different areas and different through different forms. So, I don't know, do you have offering envelopes here? I can't remember. If you want an offering envelope, oh, you just have a bucket? You don't have offering envelopes? Okay. All right, where's the chicken bucket at? Okay, well, look, I used to do this all the time. I don't know if I still remember how or not, but get your offering ready. Lift it up in the air. You say, well, I don't have an offering tonight. Well, get your hand up anyhow. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You right now for what we're about to give. Father, we thank You most of all that we were able to hear Your voice and be obedient to what You want us to do. Father, we know that we're going to be blessed whether we give tonight or not. We're still going to be blessed because Your grace Your grace supplied it at the cross. So we know that. But tonight, Father, we bring this offering before you. And Father, we just want to use it for what you want to do in the kingdom. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just pass it down that way and around each row. I'm trying to be as Baptist as possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and pass it down the row and to the next 100 people you see there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now they call this the prayer, you know, most people know it as the prayer in Ephesians or the Ephesians prayer. I just know it as the Word of God and promises to me, part of my inheritance. And it starts out in verse 11 of chapter 1. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Glory be to God. I got to find His will in every area. Got to be there in His will. I just got to be there. If His will is to be healed, which it is, then I got to get in His will. If His will is for a miracle in my body, I've got to get in His will, because that is His will, to have a miracle. If His will is to be prosperous, I've got to get into His will, or I can't accomplish anything for the kingdom of God unless I'm prosperous. How can I help the kingdom of God if I don't have two pennies to rub together? Well, sure, I can give my time, but if I don't have two pennies to rub together, how can I get to the place where I'm supposed to give my time? You see how it all works? So I want to get in His will, because He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be prosperous for a reason. Glory be to God. I got to get in His will. Hallelujah, Jesus. According to the counsel of His will. Now, I wonder what that is. And I guess I need to go to the prayer closet and find out His will. Well, yeah, you do. But, you know, you could go ahead and get started, because you got His will right here in this book.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You mean I can open up this book and know what God's will is? Yeah. Yeah, you can just sit down and begin to read it. It might take more than 5 minutes. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit that sealed me till that day of redemption, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What is that? You and I. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Now here's the prayer that he prayed. This is for you. This is for me. Now listen closely what he wants you to have, because we're fixing to go into what he wanted you to have this for. One of the reasons. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. He wants you to have the spirit of wisdom, and you're not going to be able to do much unless you have the wisdom of God operating in your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Just some of them growing pains, you know. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wants you to have the wisdom of God operating in your life. He doesn't want you to be stupid. And He wants you to have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Him. And the only way you're going to find that knowledge is in the Word of God. That is Him. This Word, this Bible, is Him. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And look at this. Look at this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wants you to understand the Word of God and understand the things of God. He wants your eyes to be open to see what? Truth. Truth. You can't be healed unless you know truth. You can't receive a miracle unless you know truth. Do you know that if you want a miracle here tonight, you should be preparing ahead of time?
Amen.
If you want a healing here tonight, you need to be preparing ahead of time. You know, everywhere I used to go, you know, whenever I would set up these miracle services in these motel conference rooms and different places, civic centers and stuff like that, we would rent a room and we would set up that meeting, and we would set it up for usually at least 3 nights, 3 services. And at the first service, I would tell them, from now on, you start preparing to receive your miracle. And I would begin to show them how to do it. Oh, Father, I thank you for my miracle. I thank you that you're the God of miracles. Jesus, you're my miracle worker. Oh, I thank you and I praise you, Jesus, that I got a miracle. I got a miracle at the cross. I thank you that it's already done. I don't have to wait any longer. It's already done. Oh, I worship you and thank you for my healing. I thank you, Father God, for my healing. Oh, I worship you and thank you for my healing. And you do that all day long, and then you come the next night and receive your miracle. But you're just preparing yourself to receive what God done. You're not begging Him. You're preparing yourself to receive what He done 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
See, you can't be stupid. See, you got to find out. In the Word of God, what do I do? How do I get my miracle? First, I find out that He's a miracle worker.
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's a miracle worker.
That's right.
That's the first thing I find out. Second thing I find out is, how do I get it? Well, in the Word of God, He says you can have what you say. Why? Because you're changing your doubt and unbelief to faith that it takes to receive, to walk into that grace that He gave you.
Amen.
By faith. By faith we walk into this grace.
Amen.
See, that miracle was a work of grace at the cross. It was a free gift. You need a miracle? Here it is. It's a free gift.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, by faith we receive this grace. So we want to work on that faith. Well, the only thing that's going to change that is the Word of God. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that I've got a miracle. I thank you, Father God, that you're my miracle worker. Oh, I thank you, Father, that I don't have to be sick any longer because you're my miracle worker. See, he don't want you to be stupid. Now, I know that sounds like a strong word. You know, you might like it better if I say, he don't want you to have lack of knowledge. But let's face it, he don't want you to be stupid. He wants you to know the right things in the Word of God. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know what you can have and not be cheated out of it.
That's right.
See, the devil, he'll cheat you out of those things. He knew we were going to be here tonight. So he started working on people. You don't need to go tonight. There's a good show on TV. You don't need to go tonight. You need to go to such and such house. Soothe each other's flesh. He started evangelizing and working way before now because he knew about this night and he knew what we were going to do.
Amen.
And he knew what would happen if people got here. See? So he starts working ahead of time. But then, you know, prayers are going up by the saints. You know, so some make it to the meeting where others don't, but you know, prayer's going up, you know, paves a way for others to come in, see. You know, all we're going to do is keep praying and worshiping God that more can beat Him back and make it to the meetings. That's what we're going to do. Are we going to stop? No. Not until Jesus comes.
Amen.
Takes us home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what? What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of His calling for you? For me? That He wants you to know these things. He doesn't want you just to go through life not doing anything or not knowing what He wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be that way. He wants you to know what He has for your life. Down to the very smallest dot on the eye, He wants you to know it. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know what that inheritance is that you have. You can't tap into that inheritance and enjoy it here on earth unless you know what it is. Well, He don't want you to be sick. He wants you to be well. He don't want you to be poor. He wants you to be prosperous. He don't want you to be in torment in your mind. He wants you to be at peace in your mind. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be surrounded and sat. He wants you to walk in peace concerning every situation. That no situation that comes along shakes you. He wants you to be walking in peace. That's His desire. That's part of the inheritance that you and I have. But if we don't get in the Word of God and find out what that inheritance is, what's in there, we're not going to know it and we're not going to be able to obtain it because we don't even know it. See, it's His desire that you walk in peace concerning every situation. It's His desire that you be free of things. To be walking in freedom. It's His desire that you be prosperous. Prosperous so you can have your bills paid. Yes, have your bills paid. And then that you can also be a part of what's going on in the kingdom of God. That's why He wants you to be prosperous. It's not to heap things up on your flesh. Sure, He wants you to have a good, comfortable place to live. And He wants you to have a dependable car that doesn't break down before you get to the place where He can use you. He doesn't want that either. He wants you to have a dependable car where you can get there. He wants you to be prosperous. But He doesn't want it for you to just use to heap things up on your flesh. That ends up taking you out of church and out of the body of Christ.
Amen.
I've seen it happen time after time. The devil, he's working every angle. He never stops. He works every angle. If you think he's going to stop, you need to get in the Word of God. You're not very knowledgeable. Don't be stupid. I think it's a good title for this message. Don't be stupid. 2 exclamation points after it. I seen it before me. Don't be stupid and 2 exclamation points. She's writing it down because I won't know it later.
What did I say the name of that message was?
So He wants you to have this revelation. He wants you to have this knowledge in your life, operating in your life. He wants you to walk in this. And there's a reason why. And I can tell you what that reason is. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's start in about... let's go with verse 11 just for the fun of it. It's not my point, but I love it. 4:11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what's He talking about there when He says edifying of the body of Christ? Really? It's another message, folks. I can't go there. I can tell you this. It has to do with tongues. You know why? How am I going to find out? Because you've got a Bible just like I do. And if you don't, you can go buy one. It's a New King James Version. If you've got one of those NIVs or something, throw it away and go get one. I won't pick too much on Old King James, because New King James, they just took the vowels, the yeas, and turned them into yes. No big deal. You get in some of those other versions where they start deleting passages, you got a problem.
That's right.
Like NIV and some of those. I'm just going to tell you. Pastor Dave Roberson, whom I dearly respect and love, he made a good point. He said that every version, if you start going away from the original King James, or if you start going down the line to where they started coming out with each version, they started getting away from the true meaning of what the Word of God meant. So that's why it's dangerous, is because as you go down the line, you get some of these newer versions. You run the risk of not getting truth out of what God wanted and intended. I thought it was a good point. You can take it or leave it. I just thought, though, that's a nugget for you there. I don't know, You're quite welcome. So he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and apostles, prophets. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a little bit here to work with, and then you can take it from there, because that's not my point. But apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, work of the ministry, has to do with that passage about ministry of helps, just throwing things out so you'll do some studying. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, well, what is it? What is it that edifies you? When you pray in tongues,
amen.
Building yourselves up where?
Holy.
On your most holy faith.
Hallelujah.
And just a little hint there, but that's not where we're headed. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Talking about maturity. Talking about being solid on the rock. Solid on a foundation. And here's why. Here's why. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I like this. Every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. You mean I'm supposed to come here in love and begin to correct you with the Word of God? But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. He wants you to be mature. He doesn't want you to stay a baby forever. And if you've been here for 2 years since I started, and you haven't started praying in tongues and finding out truth in the Word of God, you need to get on the ball because you're behind. You're a baby. And he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he talks about, he says, you know, he said, you're divided and there's contention and jealousy and envy among you. You're nothing but babes in Christ. I can't even give you milk because you're babies. And then he went on and he talked about some of you say you're Paul, some of Apollos. He wasn't talking about there, you know, some of you say, well, I listen to Dave Roberson a lot. I listen to Gary Carpenter a lot. Another one will say, I listen to Charlie Rogers, probably one of you. Man on the front row. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about where you start going after every whim of doctrine. And you start following one saying, I'm going after this doctrine over here. See, when you start talking about Dave Roberson, you start talking about Gary Carpenter or Charlie Rogers, they're already in the same vein of doctrine. Not that you're going to hear it put the same way when you hear one of them over the other one. They'll be putting it a different way. I'll be putting it, illustrating some of these same things that Gary illustrates, but it'll be in a different way. And hopefully, between the two of us, God will give some increase. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about going after every whim of doctrine, being tossed to and fro, going after different doctrines. You can't stay here in a church like this or the one in Ulysses or the prayer center where they teach about, you know, that you need to hear God instead of doing the law of tithing. You need to hear God's voice and be obedient to Him in your giving. You can't stay with that and go over here and listen to another one that says, if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed.
That's right.
Those are two different veins of doctrine.
That's right.
And you can't do that. That's being tossed to and fro. Over here, over there. At some point, you've got to make up your mind. What is truth in the Word of God? Which one is truth? And you're not going to be able to find out unless you begin to pray that prayer and say, Father, open my eyes. Enlighten me. Bring me into the knowledge of Christ. Bring me into the knowledge of Your will in every area. That's the only way. That's what he was talking about. He said, one is following Apollos, one is following Paul. But just remember this, it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
It's God that you need to be looking to. It's God that you need to be going after. It's God that you need to be following. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you find truth in the Word of God. Unless you get into the Word of God and you spend time in prayer. Glad you could join us. That we should no longer be children. If you're being tossed to and fro, if you listen to me one night or spend a week listening to my audios on the website or something like that, and then you turn on TVN and you go a different direction, you're being tossed to and fro. You can't decide what you want. You're being double-minded. Unless it's the same vein that they're teaching. See, you've got to make up your mind. What am I going to do? Well, the only way you're going to do that is get with God and find out the truth. What is the truth? Get in the prayer closet and begin to pray in other tongues. Because that's how you hear God's voice. He who prays in an unknown tongue prays down the will of God in your life. See? And it'll always match up with the Word of God. But you got to get in the Word, or you're not going to know. If truth come and hit you upside the head, you're not going to know it. I'm amazed at how fast people can hear God's voice. Sometimes I'll spend months hearing His voice, or weeks. And people will tell me things, and, you know, they got it in 5 minutes. And I thought, man, I'm missing the boat somewhere. Would you please tell me how you do that? That's astounding. I would like to do that. Now, not that I don't hear it occasionally, real quick. It depends on how quick I can get the flesh out of the way.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And I got a feeling like some of you aren't hearing the voice of God. But maybe you are. I don't have to answer to it. It's between you and God. I will tell you this, though. Whatever you hear, you need to get in the Word of God and see if it lines up in the Word of God. Amen. And don't call me and ask me what the Word says. I have been through so much and seen so many things. Funny things. One thing I just will not do is tell people what the Word of God says for the most part. I might occasionally, but for the most part, I feel that it's your responsibility to get in the Word of God. Find out what it says. You having a good time tonight? I sure am. Have I been nice enough for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So far.
So, anyhow, he considers us children if we're tossed by every whim of doctrine. One day we want to believe in seed sowing. The next day we're going to hear God's voice. Then, no, we're going to go back to seed faith. Now, you can't be torn. You're a double-minded person if you're torn between two different veins of doctrine.
Amen.
And you'll spend your whole life going in circles and never accomplishing anything for God. That's the problem. And that's what the bad thing is that he wants me to warn you of and to try to direct you away from. He doesn't want you spinning your wheels on a slick, icy spot and staying in one spot. He wants you going forward. He wants you going forward in God. But the only way you can do that is find truth in the Word of God. Get the truth out of there. Spend some time. You mean I can't do it just spending 10 minutes each week? No, probably not. You might have a little bit of grace along the way and occasionally pick up something. But more than likely you won't. That's just enough time for the devil to come along and give you something that sounds like truth. Hallelujah. Look, every preacher, every teacher is at a different place in the knowledge of Christ. I'm not going to go there. It was going to go a certain way. I'm just not going to do it. I just can't do it. But every preacher, every teacher is at a certain place in the knowledge of Christ. And you're only going to grow. You're only going to grow to the point that they're at if you're around them. So you got to take it farther. And that's going to mean you taking some time and getting in the Word of God. And occasionally, a limb will outgrow the tree and have to be grafted onto another tree. I realize that. This is a change in direction here, I think. But that doesn't give you the justification to be taken about by every whim of doctrine. You need to buckle down. Get in the Word of God. Get in the prayer closet. Find out truth in the Word.
Amen.
And begin to use that Word on yourself. Begin to use that truth on yourself. Begin to change yourself and conform yourself to that truth.
Amen.
You need to humble yourself before the hand of God and let Him begin to change you and get in there and give Him the opportunity to change you. You can't stay the way you've always been. He's not with you when you do that. That's why denominations or movements of God got left behind. Because they wouldn't make the changes and go forward with the flow. They wouldn't put the flesh aside. They wouldn't put bad doctrine aside and go forward into the truth of God. So then therefore God left them. If He can leave an organization, He can leave you. Not that He wants to, but He leaves you behind because you won't go forward in the truth of God. You've got to take that opportunity, the Word of God, and begin to dig the truth out, not stop until you have it, so you can mature in the body of Christ and be something worthwhile. And God's plan is what I'm talking about. When I say worthwhile, not one person is worthless. I'm talking about being worthwhile and worth something to the plan of God. How about this city? You're going to let it go to hell just because you didn't grow. Just because you spent all your time getting tossed to and fro by every whim of doctrine. You're going to let it go to hell. How about growing up and doing something about the lost people in this city? When's the last time a bunch of you went down on the streets and began to talk to people about Jesus? Oh, I know they'll think you're crazy. Weird. Odd. I know a lot of people have thought I'm odd. Seems they call up though when they want prayer for something. They come to the odd one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can stand. You got prophesied to, and nobody said, "Thus saith the Lord," and you still got prophesied to. How many of you were hung up in that doctrine that it has to be, "Thus saith the Lord," or it's not a prophecy? You just got prophesied to. You didn't even know it. That's just a simple thing. See what I mean? When are you going to start humbling yourself before the hand of God? Say, "God, take me. Take me apart. Put me back together. Put me together right in the Spirit."
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. hey, that wasn't too bad a message. I mean, it wasn't too rough on you. Maybe. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wanna thank you for all of your prayers and all of your support this past 6 or 8 months. You know, my mother, she thanks you too. She really appreciates it and asks about you all the time. And Dad, well, you'll just have to talk to him when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tomorrow night, part two. Part two. I don't know about tomorrow night. I have some idea always, but I leave it open to Him.